You're listening to the Sound Girls podcast with Susan and Becky from Central Florida.
This episode features an interview with audio engineer and podcaster Samantha Potter. She is an audio engineer as well as a senior editor with Pro Sound Web. When she's not running front of house, she can often be found writing, educating, and consulting on system designs. Host of the show, Church Sound Podcast, Samantha focuses much of her attention on education on the House of Worship community, in addition to co-designing and teaching Church Sound University. Welcome to our podcast, Sam.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
What's up, Sam?
What's up? I was just on Samantha's podcast, actually, last week or whatever.
Yeah, I alluded to it.
Yeah. I alluded to this meeting in the podcast.
Indeed, you did. I was like, dude, I don't know when it's going to come out, but that's awesome. I love that we're all podcasting back and forth. Like, what else are we going to do right now? Sharing the wealth. Cool. So we're going to dive into that a little bit, but I kind of want to ask you right off the bat, like, how'd you find out about Sound Girls? Because you've been with Sound Girls, like, since virtually the beginning.
Yeah, for a hot minute. Like 2013 or 2014, I can't quite remember. Gosh, it had to have been in one of my Googling forays. Like, you know, you just go into those one of those Google holes where you try to find people that look like you doing what you want to do. And it must have been well-timed because then I stumbled upon the Sound Girls website. And then it wasn't too long after that that they started the Facebook group. And I've watched it kind of change from being mostly on the website where there was threads and forums and things like that to like almost entirely on Facebook, which has been a lot of fun because now there's way more communication and there's a ton of Sound Girls on there now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably only 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago that I got on there.
That's when it started.
Sorry. It's like a Monday when we're recording this and I'm old and tired.
It is Monday.
I don't know what year it is. This year has been 7 years long.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Can y'all tell? I'm over it.
So, I mean, that leads us into one of our questions. Samantha she's been working in houses of worship for some time. And then we wanted to ask you about that. And then also, how you've changed from doing your normal house of worship stuff to the whole like having to stream online potentially or managing, just how to deal with the whole pandemic situation.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to get started in house of worship work. I'm not particularly religious or anything. And I often work with people in churches and houses of worship that don't theologically align with me. And that's fine. It was like, 2000, what year is it? here we go again. Yeah, I think it was in 2000. Yeah, it was 2013. And I had a professor at the time, and they had an old student who was looking for more help. And the professor got us in touch because I had already had experience at the time. And so I started working here at this very large church and this graduate school that leases out part of the campus. And now it'll be 7 years this fall that I've been here. And so it started, you know, I started there doing kind of AV stuff. And then I got involved with doing their broadcast mix on the weekends. And it just kind of like flowered into this whole thing. And I work with all of these theological students. And they all have churches, and I teach here. So usually by the time they graduate, if they have any technical anything, I'm the first person that they ask, which is sweet business model.
Right.
That's what you want. And it just kind of like I saw a need for it, for education and helping them out. And I didn't feel like anybody else was doing it well. So I just stepped in, and now it's been, you know, 6 or 7 years, and you know, I love what I do, and it's very different from what a lot of people do. And then falling into all the magazine stuff, I mean, that came later, and partially because of all of my experience with varied jobs, gigs, and being in houses of worship. So
very cool. And you're in Kansas City, right? So you're kind of right in the middle of, you can reach out to all directions.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm right in the middle. I don't think anything's more than like 3.5 hour flight at most. I think I can get anywhere within about in the continental US in about 3.5 hours. So yeah, no, what I get to do allows me to kind of live wherever I want, and get to travel and go do stuff. That's sort of the fun in being a specialized kind of field, is mm-hmm. that if you make it past a certain point, people want you, and then you get to call the shots. So I've been kind of enjoying that the last couple of years of getting to go and teach wherever and reach more people. So
that's awesome. Let's dive in a little bit to, you know, so houses of worship. During this time, you know, of our pandemic season that we're going into, yeah. you know, that we're living in right now, a lot of people have had to pivot. A lot of churches have had to go online. Now some of them are starting to open back up and trying to decide, you know, what's the more mm-hmm. prevalent thing. Do we stay online? Do we have to now hire another person to do a broadcast mix? Like mm-hmm. all of those wonderful things. There's a lot of jobs in that area for a lot of people, but like you were saying, you know, your theology doesn't line up or your whatever, mm-hmm. you know, you just don't want to mix in a church. But
yeah,
I don't know if you can speak to that a little bit, because you're probably getting a million phone calls about that. Like
yeah, the last few months have been a nonstop parade of emails and phone calls from assorted churches and houses of worship trying to get them situated and like moved online. Many of the churches I routinely work with are already streaming, and so it was really just about kind of being able to up the production a little bit more. A lot of churches were like complete emergency, shove onto online. Oof. And that's why I came out with a special edition of my podcast just about streaming, because it felt like that, you know, I'm on a couple of Facebook groups and it felt like there was 10,000 questions a day and they were all the same question and nobody was looking for anything. And so I just wanted to have, here's 22 minutes of everything you probably need to know. And here's the translation, or the transcription rather. Here's a transcription of the podcast so that you can read it. And here's an article I wrote the year before, so you can go, I'll check this out. Like, I wanted to just have a little central location where everybody could read or listen however they prefer to consume information. Here you go. Feel free to reach out to me or email me if you have a question. And so that helped a lot. And it's just been, it varies from church to church, how technical the volunteers or the staff sure. already are, if they're willing to put in the work for an online ministry, because that's a huge thing to take on. And I think a lot of churches are like, oh, well, we'll just do this because it's super hip. You know, outside of the pandemic, now it's about, you know, everybody has to do it.
Right.
And so it varies. It's a lot of fun. It can help a lot, but there is a carrying capacity for people, like streams on the internet. Like, you just can't, people can't watch everything all at once. So it's going to end up being about production value and the message and their communication.
That's part of the struggle that I've had at the place that I work. Because they want this, they have these super high expectations for the production value, and we are completely capable of doing that as long as we have people who are capable of doing those things. You know what I mean? So if they give mm-hmm. me camera ops that have never been a camera op before, I'm better off literally just leaving the camera set in the position that I want, because that's safer than trying to literally wait a minute for somebody to, like, a whole entire 60 seconds for somebody to frame a shot for me.
Yeah. A minute is an eternity.
That's forever. And so for me, holding a different shot for way too long because I'm waiting on this person to get the shot I want is just not even worth it. So, like, I've been having that struggle, and I did some camera trainings, but, until they start doing it more, like, they're not going to get better. And then the other thing that I've run into is that entire departments have been furloughed. And so they want this super high production value, but they're literally having like interns
skeleton crew
making graphics for free. And I've sent some of them to Becky, like, dear Lord, what is happening? Like, this is rough. Yeah. Like, yeah. So their priorities are so weird. And that's been my struggle working with houses of worship, because I am so new to this. So this is my first year. I've been there since January, my very first year ever working for a house of worship. And there are so many struggles that I didn't even know that are so different from production in general. So I do kind of wish I'd read up more about it before. Not that I wouldn't have done it, because it's really cool to have a job, you know, during this time. I kept both of my jobs throughout this whole pandemic, thankfully. So I'm not ungrateful, but it's definitely hard. Like, they're so different to work with than regular production. You've noticed that too, I would assume.
Oh yeah, that's like why I have the podcast now. That's why I started Churchtown University with some good, you know, colleagues of mine, because for that exact reason, is that most of the people running these services have like regular jobs during the week and either volunteer their time on the weekends, or, you know, if you get big enough, or, you know, the church has enough money, then you can hire somebody. But that's kind of few and far between, and you have to, nobody is paying attention to like that group of people. And that's what I wanted, my goal with the magazine and the podcast and all of the stuff that I do, is to make sure that we're talking to them so that they become more knowledgeable, so that their bar is raised and they can now communicate and work with the rest of the industry and not feel so completely outside of it. And that, I mean, that's what I want to do. And I've heard that story 100 times, and it can, I have days where I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish they could just like, they just understood, because it can get really tiring, like over explaining every single thing. So I'm with you and I get it. And it takes a completely different mindset. So
yeah, I have to switch my brain over when I go there, because I go there almost every Wednesday and Sunday. And so on my drive over, it's managing expectations in a totally different way.
Yeah,
absolutely. I just, Susan and I were talking about that a little bit earlier today. And because I mixed at church yesterday, which I don't do often anymore, but because I'm home, I'm able to. And I went in and was mixing, and it's just a whole different ball game, like, to change your mindset. And remember, communication is huge in a church environment. It's like, far as I'm concerned, even more so than, you know, like a tour or live sound, because people expect you to know your job in a tour, in a live sound environment, or in a studio. That's your job. Like, in church, a lot of times, you know, you're a volunteer, and, you know, they expect me, because I'm a professional, to know my job, but they don't know it. You know, when I look at them and I say, you know, 300 hertz, a lot of times they're like, I don't know what you just said. It's Chinese. You know, is that the blue or red line? You know, and that's, I'm like, it's the blue one on the console. But yeah, at least you knew it was there. Like, yay, let's keep going, you know. So the training is ongoing, I think, you know.
Getting people to understand how important training is the most difficult part, and is the most important part. Is that, I mean, you can't really quantify it, but you get so much more back. And it's really, I mean, you should always want to be learning and doing better. So
have you guys, so sorry, Becky.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Have you guys had, if you didn't really start out in this, have you guys had any issues with, okay, so I have issues with my perception and my attitude. I kind of forget that when I'm at the church, I need to smile at everybody and I need to say hello by name to that person. And so it's almost like I have in production, like, I try to not be an asshole, but I feel like sometimes I've like forgotten my manners. And so the church kind of forces me into having like exceptional manners that I'm not used to always having. And I feel bad about that, because obviously I should be nicer. Like, obviously I should be nicer to everybody. But like, in the morning at 7 a.m. and you know, I'm like, everyone's like, hi, good morning. And I'm like, oh yeah, hi. Mm-hmm. It's rough for me. Do you guys have that? Or are you used to it? Or are you better people? That's probably it, isn't it?
I'm definitely not better than you. And anyone who's worked with me would tell you, like, even yesterday at the service I mixed, I walked in and a couple of the worship team walked past me and they're like, you're not awake yet, are you? And I just lift up my coffee cup. I don't even say anything. Like, my eyebrows are down. I'm like, you know what? they know me, and they know that I don't wake up. Even the pastor has said to me, I noticed you don't wake up until about the second service. And I was like, that's true. Everything's on autopilot until 11 o'clock. Sorry.
I've gotten super good at pulling into a parking lot and switching into like work mode. And it is absolutely, you have to be very mannerful. It's very people oriented. It's even more people oriented than this field already is. Mm-hmm. And right. So people I've noticed genuinely do like care about you, and that reflects in how they treat and treat you and act.
Yeah. I'm not used to that.
Yeah. I know. It's way different out on tour or gosh, even in like production, corporate production.
Yeah.
It can be kind of this like super fake, like corporate hello. And then, but at the end of the day, they're going to want what they want, period.
Yeah.
And it's not like that in houses of worship, which is something that I've learned to enjoy, but yeah, it can get a lot of getting used to. If you're used to being on a tour and then you go into house of worship, like it's going to feel like a slap in the face because you're bringing in a completely different like vibe.
Yeah.
Get a vibe check.
Yeah. I've got my teacher check. Like I walk, when I'm going in to do a lecture, I walk in, I get my keys. Like I turn into the person I need to be for that. And so even now after it's been 6 months, I'm still not quite nailing that house of worship vibe because I think it's because it's so early in the damn morning. Like that's,
yeah,
it's no, you'll rough. Get it.
There was a lot. I've had a lot of gigs where I worked till like 2 a.m. and then I had to be at some church someplace at like 7:30. And that was not fun. But I always try to remember these people care about what they're doing and they want me to be successful also. And so as long as I, one, develop a rapport with them, and Becky, you and I talked about this in the Church Time podcast, having a rapport with people adds so much. Yeah. It's become so forgiving. As long as you've got that and you're trying your best, like, I think you're fine. It's as long as you're, I guess the only line would be like openly cursing a lot. It's probably like, probably want to curse out that. But otherwise...
Which I can honestly say I've done in several church booths.
Thankfully,
I cannot talk today.
My children's theater helped me with that one.
Yeah,
right. So that's another
switch over to my vocabulary, like schnikey and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah,
I have a friend of mine that I tour with, and he said like, well, this one time we were talking on the bus, and he's like, oh wait, we're done tomorrow on this run, aren't we? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I gotta get all the fucks out. And I was like, what? And he's like, that's what my wife tells me before I come home, because she doesn't want to hear me talk like a roadie. And I was like, that's amazing. So now I say that to other people, you know, I gotta get all this, you know, you just whatever way you talk. I mean, I do corporate work as well, you know, that's not really accepted in corporate work whatsoever. You know, but then like I'm out on the road and I turn into a different person too, you know, and I think that's part of being a really good production individual is to be able to play different roles and be fluid with what we do. It's an art, you know, it's being that artist. And I've had people say, you know, well, you're not being true to yourself. Oh, no, I am. I have like multiple personalities in a healthy way.
You're not a one-dimensional individual. Right. Yeah.
And that compartmentalizing helps so much when you are transferring from I'm doing this today and I'm doing this tomorrow and this is next week. And it's like necessary for us to develop that like existence, you know?
Boundaries is what it's called.
Yes.
And we all need better boundaries. What can get difficult is when like two of those worlds like intersect suddenly. And it's like, oh, I don't know how to act. I start to like get on the fritz. The only time I've like cursed at work was when somebody from a different job came and like shadowed me or hung out, and then my brain's like,
oh no.
Yeah, they're here. We can do this. And then I'm like, and then the other half of my brain's like, no, we can't. Like, and it's that's when I've had my couple of slips. So
we take part of my job at Full Sails. We take students out on gigs as much as we can, which I've taken some to the church now because there's nothing else for them to do. And like they jumped on the opportunity. But that's when my brain is like kind of jacked up because I'm on it. At the church, it was easy because I'm not cursing at the church. But when I've taken them out on other gigs, and, you know, they actually see us stressed and, like, sweating. And that's when I have to redo my brain because I need to get this done because we have a client. And then I also am teaching them because I want them to get the time. So I'm taking the time to be like, so I'm doing this fucking thing right now. And this is how we're going to troubleshoot it because it's not freaking working. And so we're not supposed to curse in front of them. And I really don't at work. But on that gig, like on the gigs when we take them, it's not that all bets are off, but like definitely my brain is confused. It's like, well, we have to teach and we also have to do this. So sometimes there's going to be an F-bomb.
Yep. Yep. When I normally get stressed out, I get super, I withdraw into myself, and that has been extremely helpful in production. So when I get stressed out, it's not, I don't hopefully do that, but I also like don't, I can't necessarily respond to somebody's question right at that moment. So I try to remember, hey, I hear you. I just need 1 second because something's exploding. Mm-hmm. And trying to do that. It can be, you know, the gymnastics is incredible that we have to do.
One of the churches I worked at, I had an usher that I became really good friends with because he worked the door that was right by my booth. And, you know, he was there greeting people and whatever, doing his little usher things. And so he would like peek his head over the booth and be like, what are you doing in there? And so we became friends. And then he was kind of like my first defense when anything weird would happen. And he was always like, do I need to remove this person? Or do I need to, he was always checking on me. And I was like, that would be awesome, actually. And so other people trying to come into the booth to give their 2 cents or things like that happened a lot. In churches where it never happens in other situations. Sorry, got a little frog in my throat. But do you find that to be the case, that people more so than not are invested in what you're doing in a church when they just should be sitting and listening, is my opinion. Yeah, but it's their thing, you know, so it's too loud or it's not loud enough or I can't hear whoever's singing. And, you know, maybe that camera shot should be this way or that way. Like, wow.
Yeah. Suddenly. Well, first, they're not paying to be there. So not under the assumption that you're, you know, when you pay to go to a concert, you're assuming every person on the team is the best person they could get, which is not often not the case. But
great point.
But exactly like you just said, the word investment is a really good one. They're invested in it. And also, if the team is volunteer, they're literally one of them. They are part of the congregation. So they feel more comfortable going up and talking to them. You know, there are people who go to church every week and they have their reserved spots. Like, they always want to have that spot, and they don't like other people sitting in it because they're invested in it. And that just, you know, I get it, but also it can be irritating at times because everybody has an opinion, but you can never make everybody happy.
Is that kind of how you teach people to handle that? Is just, you can never make everybody happy, do the best you can kind of thing?
Listen to them, make sure that they know that you're listening, that you heard them, and that they're being heard, and then either ghost turn the knob or say, yep, I'll be able to check that out. You know, take it with a grain of salt. Don't ignore them. Say, well, maybe it is too loud. Take 5 seconds to think about what they said, but you don't have to do it. You know, they just want to be heard is the point.
Right.
I do not envy our sound guy at our church. He is awesome and he's so patient, but he gets that stuff all the time. You know, it's almost every service we'll get a call from the floor manager, the service manager, whatever. And like, Reverend says pastor says it's too loud. Someone in the place complained that it's too loud, and he's just like, okay, all right. Bless him, because I am up in a booth with the door closed. I don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do not envy his job. Like, pivoting from front of house to video is great. I have no interaction with other people. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it can be annoying, but it sort of just comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. What else have you seen that's kind of maybe a church thing versus, you know, like production out in the world, like church production versus and I'm asking because I think there's a lot of people that are looking for jobs right now, and the church is one where, or houses of worship are one where people can get a job in production right now. So, you know, what are some other challenges you think they might run into coming from a studio environment or a live environment into church world?
well, not a challenge, but something that's good is that people, in my experience, have been super appreciative. There are not very many days in my field that I don't get thanked. Like, it's almost relentless. And I appreciate that a lot. And it's actually quite weird leaving from this and going to do other stuff, corporate or some, you know, random bar gig or whatever, where it's like, I'm just trying not to get like spat on. But here they really appreciate, you know, me and my work, and they understand that they don't understand anything, and that's why I'm here. And so I'm thankful for that. And that's a reason why people should get involved, is because the vibe is so different. It might be exactly what you're looking for. The other thing is that I think also it kind of relates to some corporate stuff, depending, but you might hear things that you don't agree with, and you just have to kind of accept that it's not your business to change that right now. And you're there to do a job. You need to do that job, and you don't have to like fall in line with that. That is not necessary. And as I said, kind of at the beginning, I don't always theologically align with the people who I work for, but I try to remember that they're doing their best and they're doing what they think is right. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take the long way around and make them fall in love with me. And then they have to deal with whatever issues, rather than just try to, you know, shove my beliefs like they sometimes try to shove their beliefs. Like, I'm not going to do that. I just want to be a good representation, help them out as best I can. And sometimes that sucks.
thank you but, for that. Like, I am struggling with that for sure. And I don't think that the place that I work is bad at all. I think they're awesome and they do a lot for the community, and they're all extremely nice people, which is weird for me. But some of the times I don't get a lot of time to actually listen to the services because I'm calling shots and stuff like that. But I struggle sometimes with some of their ideologies, and I'm here to work. If they want me to do more than that, they do want me to be part of their community. And so I've gone to some of their extra events, you know, just to go and be supportive, not to work. But some of the things I can't get on board with. So I have some moral feelings about it. Like, can I really support an organization that believes in that? I'm just going to do it for the people because they're all very nice. And so that's, you know, that's where I try to get off. But I know a lot of people I've known in the past have had issue. They won't work for a church because they know that they won't. They won't have the same ideas. And I don't think that's true for all of them, because some places are super open, but I'm definitely struggling.
Well, that comes
with that.
Down to, like, don't you think that comes down to just you being, that's a personal choice?
Yeah.
I mean, with whatever you work in, because, well, for me, like, I was offered to help out with the RNC convention. You know, I don't align with all that in my political beliefs, but my job aligns with it.
Yeah.
So can I put all of that on the back burner and go run sound? I don't know.
Sometimes that's hard.
That's a personal struggle for me. Do I need the money right now? And can beggars not be choosers? Sure. You know, but is that something I want to put my belief and my backing and my heart and stuff behind? Like, there's definitely that conversation I think you have to have with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
In any job, really, you know, or anything that you support.
You know? And faced with that same thing, like I, it would be a tough decision, but I think I know which way I would go. And I also keep in mind that, you know, religion to these people is sometimes all that they might have, or is the only like thread keeping their life together because things might be so horrible. And I, again, just prefer to take the long road, the high road, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
And have, you know, be willing to listen to them and have hard conversations with them. The people that I don't like are the people who are not willing to have conversations, or are not willing to hear me out or whoever, but I'm willing to listen to them. Like, if you don't want to have a conversation, fine, just be willfully ignorant, and that's cool. I won't talk to you. but I'm happy to have very hard conversations. They just have to be willing to do the same. So,
yeah, same here.
That's awesome. I mean, it's, in my experience, most of the places that I've worked with have been pretty open about it, and I just try to keep my personal beliefs like private. And that's what I explained to my worship pastor. I'm like, I like you a lot. I like everyone here a lot. I like my job. I like that I'm helping you guys. I like that he prays over the equipment and he prays that like our technical things are going to go well. I think that's like the sweetest thing anyone's ever done in production.
Yeah.
So I told him that. Yeah. I'm like, I love all of that stuff. I'm like, but you have to understand, coming from a different background, not working in houses of worship, I keep my beliefs private because that's normal for me at a workplace. And he understood that. And so they haven't been really prying into my personal life so much. They know about my fiance and his kids and like that kind of stuff, 'cause we brought them to the church. Like, we are trying to, you know, be part of the community. But I'm also kind of like, you know, you're going to, I like you guys. You're going to stay over here, and I'm going to just keep my stuff in here. And please don't make me be baptized in your church, 'cause that would be weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's where what I've been trying to do. And it's, I think for a lot of people who are especially looking into this for the first time to pivot their careers, that's going to be something they may or may not want to deal with.
Yeah. It takes a certain kind of person, and that's okay. Not everybody can be a bridge builder. Some people, we need bridge burners. And so not everybody, you know, and I'm cool with that. I'm very comfortable with where I'm at, and that's totally fine. And yeah, going into the church world, I wish more people would give it a go, because it can be a really sweet gig. You can work on really boutique equipment in a really safe place to like experiment and explore. And there's not, you know, 3,000 people, again, who paid to be here and have expectations. Like, you have room for creativity and to get board experience. Like, people, I wish more people would try it. But I understand their withholdings.
Yeah. We have, go ahead, Becky.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, we're out of time actually. So I was going to cut you off, but if you have another question, go for it.
I just needed to ask her go-to beverage, because I don't want to give that one up.
That's the question.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Is this adult beverage or?
Any. Your favorite go-to beverage. Any.
Okay. Because like, I mean, I'm not a lush, but you know, mostly my drink is like, my normal beverage I drink the most is this, is like flavored, like carbonated water. Mm-hmm. Drink way too much of it, but it's just,
same.
It's just so good. However, my go-to alcoholic beverage is Fireball and Dr. Pepper. It's becoming like, you know, every time I go to a show, more people see me order it, and most people have never even heard, like, they're like, what? And then they're like, and then they think about it and they're like, okay. So it's becoming known as my drink. So if you order, you know, let's get
it
started.
Order the Samantha Potter.
Order the Potter. Yeah. It's delicious. It tastes like Christmas in a cup.
Okay.
And you can't taste the liquor, which is what I'm aiming for. Mm-hmm. And it just tastes like a cinnamon explosion. It's great. I really recommend it.
Stand Fireball.
Yeah.
Missed them out. Don't like people who don't like Fireball went way too hard at one point with Fireball. Yeah. I know.
You may be right there. I may have just found out.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, thank you so much, Samantha, for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Thanks, man. It was awesome hanging out and talking to you.
Thank you for listening to the Sound Girls podcast. You can find out more information on the website, soundgirls.org.